Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, isn't Earth the center of the universe? And science tells us we are the intelligent life in the universe. I mean, after all, maybe there's some moss growing on some other planet. But, you know, after that, what do we know? Well, I bet a lot of you disagree with that. And for a lot of good reasons. And we've had shows about things like crop circles. Well, crop circles? Where did they go? Are they still around? Let's find out. Because maybe we need to understand where we fit in this universe or not. Or maybe there is other life or not. And we're going to talk with two experts on crop circles who have really indulged many, many years of research and travel to find out more and more and more about them. And one actually produced a film on crop circles called What on Earth? And she's the producer and director of that. That's Suzanne Taylor. Suzanne, welcome. Hello. All right, I know you're there somewhere. And then we also have Alan Steinfeld, who has been on the show before talking about crop circles. He's in New York. He's the head of NewRealities.com and New Realities TV, New Realities Radio. I was recently a guest on his show. Alan Steinfeld, welcome.
Thanks, Peter. Nice to be with you here.
Yeah, I'm glad you are.
I wonder if Suzanne is here, because she really has devoted a lot of her time into creating some beautiful movies about crop circles, I have to say.
Right, and she was online. And
oh, here I am, music to my ears.
Okay, hi, Suzanne.
Keep going, Alan, say more.
Oh, it's always good to be in conversation with you, Suzanne.
Oh, always, Alan, always.
Thank you. Thanks. Because you really have studied the phenomenon. You know, we could talk about whether crop circles exist or not, but you know, or real. But, you know, I want to also talk about how the phenomenon has changed, if that's okay with you, Peter. Because me and Suzanne are not only convinced there's something else going on here than man-made phenomena, but you know, it's a history. It's a phenomenon that has moved and changed and evolved. Wouldn't you say so, Suzanne?
Oh, well, you know, the one underlying truth is that as whatever goes on the surface, there's this real phenomenon underneath it all, and all of the junk, you know, the way human beings like to have salacious, gossipy, whatever kind of stuff, cheating and lying, and we were so attracted to that. But it's such a shame that people miss this opportunity to be in awe, because there's just no way, if you look at all, you know, this long history, that all of that can be attributed to human, you know, endeavor. It just doesn't add up that way, even though, you know, the mind wants Occam's razor. Well, it must be people. No, you have to look at the evidence. And when you look at the evidence is, no, it's not all people. There are things we can't explain. So that goes on, you know.
And yet so many people aren't listening to the details.
Right. I mean, there's so much they can't explain that science, and as Suzanne has experienced personally, the keepers of science are so afraid of coming up against something they can't explain. And that's what we're up against with the crop circles, with a lot of the people coming forward to talk about an alternative theories to what really reality is about.
Well, one time I had the opportunity to interview the head of the International Space Station. And he happened to be driving a car. He was giving me a ride in only for about 5 or 10 minutes. So I said to him, I said, what's the first thing that anybody asks you when they meet you and find out that you're the head of this space station? He said, I don't know what. I said, what do you know about UFOs? And he said, I can tell you clearly and surely that there is no such thing. All UFOs are understood to be natural phenomena in ways that have nothing to do with anything beyond the Earth.
Well, I'm going to be addressing that on September 13th at a panel called Exoconsciousness, which is part of the Spiritual Forum. And we're going to go into how the media ridicules people, and they also ridicule people about crop circles because, you know, there's no way within the given current paradigm that these things make sense. So either you have to change what these things are, or the harder approach is to change what we think is real. And that's what we're up against.
Right.
Well, I always think of the kind of an analogy that psychedelics are illegal and alcohol is legal. Alcohol keeps the current paradigm in place. Psychedelics makes you think differently. And there's just an inherent resistance in this complicated world where all the systems are as they are to really accept something that would change everything. And indeed, the minute we go from science fiction to science fact about the fact that we're being visited, whether it would come from UFOs or whether it would come from crop circles, the whole world changes. It changes the way it changed after Galileo when Earth was no longer the center of the universe. It humbled us. It had us move from kings and serfs to eventually to democracy because we were no longer the great, you know, the big cheese in the universe. Well, here's the next step. If we discover that there's other life in the universe, we're no longer not only the center of the universe, we're not the only intelligence in the universe. And those are the kind of things that affect our psyches in very, very deep ways. They make us really rethink our fundamentals, our arrogance, you know, our viciousness, our violence. You know, if it's not just us, and now we have something where, as one humanity, we can relate to the other. One humanity would come into a much more appropriate kind of relationship to the universe. The arrogance would really have to leave, and we need this so much. And you know, one of the shames of ignoring these things or making fun of these kind of things, rather than being curious about them and investigating them and being open to them, is that we really lose the opportunity to address the things that are really destroying us. And these are opportunities. So, you know, that's my little soapbox.
Well, there's also a lot of fear. And the fear is based on the media giving us films, all kinds of ways that anything that's not human is vicious and will destroy us. And so there's a lot of fear out there of the unknown.
But separate from all that, there's just the curiosity and fascination with what are these shapes appearing really around the world in crops, and what are they trying to tell us? And anyone's investigated this just a little bit and have seen, and actually some of the recent one, the weaving patterns that happen, which you only can really see on the ground in detail, see how complicated and sophisticated that is, you know there's some huge mystery going on here that can't be explained by a couple of drunk guys with boards at night in a cornfield, you know.
Right, and that's the point. People who have visited the crop circles can see the detail, and actually there are energies there. There are ways that scientifically you can examine the crops and see how they've been changed in a way that isn't just some manual method.
But, you know, the weaving really fascinates me. On the ground, you can see sometimes in some formations a kind of weaving of different stalks together and make these subtle patterns. I mean, what do you make of that, Suzanne?
Yes, I make of that we can't do that.
Right.
But, you know, the truth is the hoaxers have gotten better and better over the years. It used to be in the early years that it was so easy to tell because they didn't, you said geometry to them, they say, what's that? You know, seriously, that's what Doug and Dave said, the original culprits. And so you would look at these patterns and they would be so unaesthetic and they just would not have geometric sophistication. But then they, you know, time has gone on and they have acquired really excellent geometers now. I'd love to do another film that would really try to figure out why there's been so much energy invested you know, in encountering the idea that we've got something real going on. One good investigative reporter, and, you know, we know, I've tried to hire investigative reporters, but they're not for hire, I discovered. They follow their own muse, you know, and these kind of phenomenon are not what they're really curious about. They're political people, but basically. So if anybody knows a good investigative reporter, send them to me. I'll make another movie.
Well, the idea would be to get the hoaxers together and have them admit which ones they did and which ones they didn't do.
Well, you know, the hoaxers have a vested interest in not spoiling the game. So that even though the last few years they've become much more vicious, attacking anyone who shows up online with some positive story, the standard attack is, oh, you're just in it for the money. You know they're all fake. I get that all the time. In it for the money. What a joke. You know, it is a little cottage industry for many people, but they're all scratching to survive. You know, nobody's getting rich on this.
Don't you think the hoaxers sort of represent that fear factor of humanity that Peter was talking about? That we need to prove that this is man-made, and we're going to show it to you because we cannot live with something we can't explain. It comes from that same level of conditioned response of fear to the unknown.
You know, Alan, I don't think it's the hoaxers saying that. I think it's the chorus. That picks up on what the hoax, because the hoaxers really, if they convince the world that there's no real phenomenon, there's no more tourists. And one of their objectives is to show off their work. So, you know, if they're doing all this, making all this effort, and nobody comes to see them, that doesn't serve them. So they've always left it kind of gray from what they've had to say, but now they've acquired a whole cheering section, and those are the people that go around. And you know, one of the things that characterizes the opposition, so to speak, is how nasty they are. You know, it isn't like, oh, I don't agree with you, and I've got something else to say. The tone is just so ugly, and you know, that is some kind of predilection that humanity has to, you know, have an oppositional kind of reality. And in a way, it's made the legitimate people, you might say, more attentive to furnishing proof and what have you. It's made them less, you know, lazy about just being in awe without backup. So at some level, it's been helpful to have this kind of prodding going on. But then somehow it's gotten out of hand in the last couple of years. And, Alan, for my money, and I'm not over there. I haven't been over there for a couple of years. You know, I was there for many years making What on Earth, my movie.
I know.
And
yeah.
And before that, you know, I was involved in a film before that as well, Crop Circles, Quest for Truth. But wait a minute. Why did I start to say that? I got distracted
about
my movies.
No, about the hoaxes. You said you hadn't been over there, and you said it's sophisticated.
I'm not on the ground there the last couple of years watching what goes on. But I'm in touch with a lot of the people over there. And from my surmise, I think we may not have had any real ones this year in England, and Holland is where the action is this year, and the action is awesome in Holland.
Well, you don't think any of the ones, because the phenomenon has moved from Wiltshire County up to Essex and some of the northern counties.
Yes, mm-hmm.
And it's, of course, Germany and Italy as well have some sophisticated circles. But Holland, yes, there's that guy in Holland who is actually kind of intuitive, Robert Vandenbroek, who is an amazing human being. He could feel when the crop circles are going to happen.
That's but where the real action is now. That's the main action. BLTresearch.com is the website where you can track all of what Robert is up to. And to me, it is so fortuitous that he's hooked up with the science lady, Nancy Talbot.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you might just laugh at Robert, as many people do in this funny world we live in. But Nancy is such a credible person. I mean, she's pure science, and that, you know, she keeps giving us the reports. She's the reporter for what goes on with Robert. And I'm just dazzled by what's going on in Holland, really. If you're discouraged by England, you can get really enthusiastic about Holland.
Well, Nancy's been researching this phenomenon for at least 20 years with the BLT research and the phenomenon of growing the crops and studying the way different seeds from crop formations grow as opposed to control studies where they grow much taller and bigger and better crops. But just getting back to the hoaxes for one second, I talked to hoaxers, and they claim that strange things happen on the ground when they're doing their hoaxing. Have you heard that, Suzanne?
Oh, definitely. Like they're guided. And I'm thinking, these nasty people, I've got, you know, the spirit on their side. I don't know. maybe.
Unless they're just saying that in order to hoax their hoaxing, you know. It's hard to know. But I think people have to study the phenomena and study it. What I find fascinating are the geometries. These are, of course, third, fourth, and fifth-dimensional geometries at some point, which I don't even understand what that means, fifth-dimensional geometries. But you can see some of these designs seem to have some kind of spin or possible spin intention in them. Like I'm thinking about the 2010 tetrahedron design that looked like it was sort of spinning out. Maybe you don't know which one I mean. But
I'm not sure I do know, no, but...
Okay,
you know, the geometry has been, in the earlier years, just dazzling. One of the fortunate things about the whole phenomenon is that there are some really fabulous geometers who were drawn to it because of how exciting it was, what was going on. I mean, you know, Michael Glickman was an architecture professor at USC when he was here in the States, although he's English. He moved over here. He was an architect. And then it just drew him back. I mean, he's a brilliant geometer. So that was where the action was for the geometers. And he... you know, you and I are, you know, end users of geometry, but these people really understood. And what they said was that we were being given a virtual course in geometry and design, and that at each year we would get a new aspect. There was a time when it went from triangular shapes. And we had circles first, then underlying geometry being triangular, and then we had squares, then we had five-sided, then six, then seven. Each year we would say, oh, last year was six, will we get seven this year? Yeah, it would happen each year. I mean, it was thrilling, you know? It was like we were on the trail of a great, awesome mystery that was kept giving us more cookie crumbs, leading us, you know?
It's true. And then one of the most exciting formations, I think it was 2008, where they laid down the design for Pi on the ground, which was translated into the number 3.142 Pi to the irrational number. And I thought that was a sort of Rosetta Stone translating these formations into something we can actually understand. And I thought that was a huge breakthrough in whoever these beings or thought forms are that are creating this, that they made a leap and met us in a way halfway on our own ground. And they showed us this has a geometric significance to our civilization, basically, is what I got.
It would be nice if they were more helpful in explaining themselves.
Really?
Well,
what are you up to?
in some cases, it's a two-way dialogue. I was in Wiltshire on August 2008, and everyone was thinking, what would happen on 888 August 8, 2008, we're sleeping out in the hills, and suddenly it was a formation, and it was the form of an eight, but it wasn't just a regular eight. It was a Mobius strip eight, so everyone was expecting something on 888. They gave us an eight, and they gave us something more, which I felt was a real formation. It was huge. It was the size of two football fields, and I felt Kundalini energy in my body when I walked through that formation. So in some ways, we are dialoguing with some abstract force. That was my feeling at the time.
Well,
so.
Also, isn't there a speed at which some of these crop circles arrive that just can't be done manually?
I don't know about that. Is that true, Susan?
Wait, what was the question, Peter?
The speed that they arrive. In other words, one evening the crop circle is not there, the next morning it's there.
Oh, the speed with which they arrive. Well, you know, we do have eyewitness accounts, and there are, I don't know, maybe 30, 40 of them. They used to collect them. They used to have a Center for Crop Circle Studies, and that was so handy because everybody would turn in information there, and they could, you know, evaluate, collect, publish source of information. But when that folded over this kind of predilection, human beings have to be contentious. So that hoaxers have always kind of been an irritating force, and anyway, that center disbanded, and so we had no place to actually collect all the random information, so we're not quite sure. But I think there were about 25 accounts by the time they folded, and then there have been some more since then. They all say the same thing, and it's eyewitnesses who just happen to be somewhere where a crop circle forms, and they all say they go down in 6 or 7 seconds. It's a unanimous agreement among all the eyewitnesses, so I take that as, you know, my information. The real process is, you know, doesn't even take the 4 or 5 hours of darkness in English night to affect these things. And yes, indeed, we get up in the morning and, oh my God, a new one came in. Early on, we used to think that the hoaxers couldn't possibly be hoaxing because when they get a commission to do these things, it takes them days to do it, and that still is puzzling. How do they do it in that short time frame? But we've come to have to kind of accept that somehow they manage. I don't know how that can be. It defies, you know, my sense of logic. But there's evidence there that indeed they are able to accomplish that.
But getting back to the real ones, you can see if you look down at some of the crops that the stalks are bent. They're not broken as if some people say it's a plasma beam that actually bends these things instantly to fall over. And that's one of the amazing phenomenons about being in these things. You look through them and you say, wow, how are all these stalks bent over like that? Is that something you notice?
You have that evidence in spades right now in Holland. If you look at, there's one particular formation that's been getting a lot of press. There's a challenge, actually, a money challenge to hoaxers to replicate it. It's the one that came in July 16th in Holland. And it's in corn. They call it maize over there. And that's a very stiff and brittle crop. And some of the attributes of it are just astonishing, that it bent over at the base with a lot of the root kind of exposed even, and then within 3 days it straightened. It's a beautiful laid circle. It's just a little circle. It doesn't have a pattern to it. And, you know, it's hard to make pattern in maize. It's such a thick kind of thing and big. But within 3 days, it was back up again, with the roots having been exposed in a way that it defied all of the phototropism, even, because we all have known that when crop circles go down early in a growing cycle, there's a because they don't break, there's an effect from phototropism that stand, you know, they keep growing back up. Well, this defied even that. If you go and read all the account from it, this should not have gone back up. First of all, how did it bend down? This heavy, thick thing that would snap if you know, you tried to bend it down. And then with the exposure even of the roots and the short time frame, within 3 days, that was standing back up again. Your jaw is going to drop again. You're going to be back into that early sense of awe at the crop circle phenomenon.
Well, we only have a few minutes left, and I want to talk about this, the whole idea of why, you know, what is going on, why are we being treated to this or challenged by this? You know, this is something that our society, you know, we're growing in consciousness, and there's very little assurance that there is this, you know, simple support in the universe to assist that. I mean, those of us who are intuitive and we can speak with higher consciousness and all of that, we can get things, but it that's unique to us. And where is society finding a footing?
Well, I think it goes back to sort of what Suzanne said. This is a chance of humbling ourselves and seeing that maybe we don't have all the answers. There's a mystery here. And these are symbols that are laid in the ground by some intelligence that is talking to our higher mind, the part of us that's beyond the ordinary logic, the part of us that steps out of what we've been programmed to think and impacts us in bringing information into our awareness that changes the way we think. And that I think, is a sort of byproduct of looking at these circles. So it's an impact on the human consciousness.
It's stirring the pot, and that's wonderful, to stir the pot. There are very few really powerful footholds.
My sense of it is, Peter, that as people look to interpret these things, and there are many interpretations that are, you know, valid. This shows that. This does that. This geometrically shows that. It's got a formula in it, whatever. And then, why aren't they more clear? Why don't they just tell us clear? And my sense is, it doesn't matter what that information. It's not like we need to get the information they're sending. What they're showing us is that there's another intelligence, and that it can send information. Mm. And that, once we recognize that, the whole world changes, and I think that's what's been going on. They just keep sending us evidence of intelligence,
Yet they could do a better job of grounding this so that it's not so hard for those of us who understand it to convince others.
I think that's part of humans thinking for themselves. Do we go along with what we've been programmed to think is true, or do we strike out and think for ourselves about the nature of the world?
Well, let's make the arguments, but let's make the arguments more obvious. So anyway,
put out your request, Peter. Send a telegram.
Okay. Suzanne Taylor and Alan Steinfeld. Suzanne, what's your URL? How can people find
CropCircleMovie.com. My movie What on Earth is my latest one, and you can get the other one there too. You can see the trailer. You can watch it on iTunes. You can buy the DVD. So I would love it if and get on my mailing list. Stay tuned to what's going on. CropCircleMovie.com.
Good. Thanks, Suzanne. And Alan Steinfeld, newrealities.com, right?
Yes, and I'm hosting a panel on exoconsciousness, the ability for human beings to extend beyond their own conditioning into something greater. That's September 13th at the Presbyterian Church on 96th and Central Park West.
Thanks so much. Thanks both of you for being on the show. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thanks, Peter. Thanks for the opportunity. I love talking crop circles.
Yeah, she is the mother of crop circles.
The queen, honey.
Yes, the queen. That's right.
This is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, heartriver.org, or 212-222-7748. I'd love to hear from you, and thank you so much for listening.